Happy birthday, Christine. Happy birthday to you. All right. Okay, any anniversaries out there to celebrate? All right, no anniversaries? Okay, let's go ahead and go to the word, Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Just praise the King. Hallelujah. He is alive. Lord, we just praise you for the wondrous work you did on the cross that just saved us from all our sins and sufferings, Lord. And without that, we wouldn't even know where to be, Lord. And we just praise you for that, Lord. We praise you that you not only did that for us, Lord, but you actually decided to call us a child of God, children of God. That we're all right here, Lord, that you just accepted us. You called us friends. You didn't call us slaves. You could have, but you didn't. You decided to open up heaven and bring us in, Lord. And for all those who call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Amen, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. He is alive. Oh, Lord, just help me today preach this word. Lord, just fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your wisdom, as well as we invite the Holy Spirit here as well. We know that everything changes when you show up, Lord. And I just pray that you've been here, and we just pray that you just show up even more, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Today, we're going to be in 1 John 3. Title of the message is Children of God. And, you know, with any time you have a sermon on children, there's always plenty of good children's stories out there. In fact, I heard of a little boy that opened up the big family Bible, and he was fascinated with it, and he fingered through the old pages. And then suddenly something fell out of the Bible, and he picked it up, and he looked at it. And it was an old leaf that had been pressed between the pages. He said, Mama, Mama, look what I found, the boy called out. Mother said, Well, what do you have there, dear? And with astonishment, the young boy's voice, he answered, I think it's Adam's underwear. So, you never know what those kids will say. Kids say the darndest thing. So today we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3. And let me go ahead and go to it. Starting on chapter 3, verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. In Mark 10, verses 14 through 15, Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. All right, so we get this awesome blessing, this awesome pronouncement upon us, and all those that have called upon the name of the Lord and believe that Jesus rose from the dead will be called children of God. And, you know, you think, wow, that's amazing nowadays. But back then, children really weren't considered with high esteem that they are now. They were kind of viewed more as kind of labor, but they still were valued. And children, you know, they have different characteristics than adults. You know, one of them would be they're innocent, they're fun-loving, they're trusting. You know, if you tell them something, they generally, little children, will believe it. And fun-loving, they're always looking for the thing to do. You know, like my 4-year-old decided to bring his bike to church today. So that's just the type of thing, you know, you don't see any adults like, I'm going to bring my, whatever today. And like, it just doesn't happen. But they do that. They express their emotions freely and openly. That's another characteristic of children. They'll just tell you what's right on their mind. You know, I ran across some interesting stories. You know, kids say the darndest things. One of them was this little boy in grade school said when he was asked, he said, you know, you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. It's like, you know, you're right. they'll just tell you straight out how it is. You know, another one, this little girl named Marianne said, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize a cat. It's like, you know, you're right. And so kids, they're just innocent. They'll just say whatever's on their mind. They're fun-loving. You know, this one was a good one. Allison, this girl said, you know, you can't trust dogs to watch your food. And that's true. If I really have a little dog at home and watch your food, you know, they'll just eat it right away. And I like this one. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Like, that's true. So, so they are. They're just literal. They're trusting. They live in the moment. They are really completely unconcerned with the future and what has happened in the past. They are just like there, I'm here, and they're just there for the moment. The other thing is they're fearless. If you've seen a little baby, they could be crawling and they don't mind if they're on a couch and it's gonna or a bed and they could just crawl right off and fall to the bottom, but you know, they have no fear. And so, you know, as parents, we're just there trying to be the catcher for them and make sure that they don't, you know, fall off the bed, or, you know, there could be very pointy, sharp objects like knives. And if they know, little babies especially know if something's dangerous, because that's the thing they want the most. You know, if you ever have one of these toy phones and then you have a real phone, that baby most of the time is going to want the real phone and not the toy phone. So they're just fearless. Children are full of energy. That's the other thing you've noticed, that they're just like, wow, they just when they wake up and they're on it, they're ready to go. And sometimes moms especially be like, hey, you know, you need a map. And not because you maybe you don't need it, but I need it for you. So they're just full of energy. They are just, they wind and they go, go, go. The other thing is they little children will just want to be with their parents. No matter what you look like or what outfit you're in, or if you haven't taken a shower recently, it doesn't matter. They're just like happy to be with you. And that's the way God is calling us. You know, he says to be a child of God, that you just enjoy being around him. The other thing children are, another characteristic for them, is they're completely dependent upon their caregiver or parents. They're just whatever, you know, you make them dinner and lunch and you get them their clothes and you brush your teeth for them. But they're totally dependent upon their parents, just like we should be really dependent upon our Heavenly Father. And the other thing is they really don't care what you look like or what they look like. They could just come in with the most mismatched clothes and I'm good with it, you know, or mismatched socks. I'm good. Or, hey, I got light up shoes. This is good. And, you know, and us adults, we're just, oh, you know, what do people think? And, you know, if my hair is out of place or if I'm not wearing the right clothes. But little kids, they're cool. Like if they got their little boys and they got like Batman shoes, like, man, we're on it. This is good. Or light up shoes or, you know, whatever. They are totally happy. And it could be the most mismatched clothes. But hey, if it's got a truck on it, little boy, that's good. And so those are some of the characteristics of kids. And he's saying, you know, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, this is who you got to be. You can't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees out there. And they were always just accusing Jesus. And they were in him like, how can you, because there was just that insecurity. There wasn't that tenderness of accepting the gospel. They always wanted proof. And when you gave them proof, it was never enough. It was all, you know what, you didn't do it this way. You know, at my job, you know, there's a group and we have to report to them a lot. And you tell them, hey, here's our problem. They say, well, you need to go get this and this. And so you go get this and this. And you go, you know what, actually, I need it's like fetching a rock. You go fetch a rock for them. And they go, no, I needed a yellow rock. And so then you go get the yellow rock. And then, oh, you know, I needed a bigger yellow rock. And so they're just always, and that's the same thing sometimes with proud adults, or it could be unbelievers or Pharisees and Sadducees back in Jesus' time. Jesus sat there and he healed the sick. He provided 5,000 people enough food for an entire meal. He forgave people's sins, and they still were so hard of hearts, they would always say, oh, but you need to do more. You don't fit the what I want. And he's saying, hey, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, You have to be like a little child. You can't be all proud and stiff-necked and say, well, you know, you got to do it this way. Or if God was such and such, it's like, no, this is not the way it works. He says, I am Abba Father. But I'm not going to bend to you. You have to come to me. And if you want to come to me, then, you have to come as a little child. And, you know, he's not negotiable on this. In fact, he says in Matthew 18:3, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So as children are simplistic, they're dependent upon their parents. They're dependent that they just freely express their emotions. They live in the moment. That's what he's calling us to be, is children of God. All right, let's keep going. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In Romans 8:19, it says that creation longs for the revealing of the sons of God. In 2 Peter 3:13, it says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look forward for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So there's this revealing out there. So it says that we are children of God, but that we will be revealed, and then we shall be like him. And do you ever wonder why God doesn't reveal himself plainly to us? You ever just, you know, like when you sit there and pray, you know, very rarely in my life have I actually heard the audible voice of God. Or, you know, when I prayed, I didn't see like a flame pop up or, you know, some physical manifestation. And do you ever wonder, you know, why that is? And so that like the unbelievers will say, well, you know, why doesn't God do this? And I prayed to God about this week. And I said, well, God, why is it that, you know, sometimes it just feels like when I'm praying, my prayers are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. You know, are you really hearing what I'm saying? And he actually revealed to me why on this. He says, you know, if I did this, you would just treat me like a genie in the lamp. You would just sit there and say, oh, well, if I just rub this thing, I can get this genie to pop out and he can grant me wishes. That if I had some physical manifestation, you would just turn me into a genie. And I'm not a genie. I am your Abba Father. I'm your God. And also, he said, you know what? You wouldn't come to me in the right mode. You would just treat me like a help desk or something like that. You know, something to, oh, I'm in this jam. I got this problem, Lord. How do I get out of it? And you wouldn't come to him as a little child. He says, you remember when Israel was after the Red Sea, there was the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And, you know, and how did they turn out there, Bob? And I was like, you know, you're right, Lord. He was physically there. There was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they still made the golden calf. And he said, you know, my word is sufficient for you. My spirit is sufficient for you. And then he said, you know, even when Israel got into the promised land and they built a temple, they still fell into apostasy. Even when I was there, I was in the Holy of Holies, they still fell into apostasy. So even if I was there, you would treat me like a genie and you would still sin. And then he said, you know, James 5:7 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. And that if he was this physical manifestation presence, just, you know, this little whatever, you know, pop-up creation that we prayed and popped up, that we wouldn't come near to him, that we wouldn't approach him with the right heart. And he's more interested in the process than the actual end result. And he wants us to be holy. He wants us to come to him and not treat him like a help desk or a genie in the lamp. And the other thing he said is, I can't tolerate sin in your presence, in my presence. And when you sin, you're immediately separated from God. This week, I know this is probably very unusual, it's a little gross, but this week, just because of my genetics, I had to get a colonoscopy. And this is really gross. I'm not going to go into details of it. And God came back good. In a colonoscopy, you got to get cleaned out. And it's kind of like that with sin. It's like we are just coated with sin from head to toe. And that separates us from God. And that prevents his presence from us. That it's got to be, you've got to clean yourself of this. We have a sin problem that we've got to get rid of that. And you know what? There isn't any detergent. There isn't any cleaner in there. There isn't any action that you can do. It's only by the blood of Jesus that that sin problem can get fixed. In 1 John 3, verse 8, it says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In John 8, verse 44, it says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So Jesus came to destroy all the lies and deceit from the devil, his demons, and the people who rebel against the Lord. He came to destroy his works. And you're probably thinking, well, what are some of these works that are out there? Well, he is the prince of lies. It's his mother tongue, is what Jesus says. And some of these lies that are spreading out there now that he's really promoting are, hey, you can live together outside of marriage. That's okay. You know, it's actually a complete and total lie. That people do this get divorced way more than people that wait until they're married. That premarital sex is okay. Like, that is absolutely not true. That is a complete lie. Another one that they're pushing out there is that, hey, abortion is okay. In fact, California decided to make all their public universities, all the universities in the system of California, abortion clinics. They said, hey, that all of them are required to provide abortion pills. Now, I thought this was something that, you know, you're there for education. And so this is a complete lie, that these pills, this morning after, this first trimester pill, is an absolute disaster for your health. It is like taking chemical toxin for you. It is a total lie from the devil. And it is not good for you. So those are some of the lies. The big one, another big one now is, hey, if you're born a certain gender, you can change it. No, you are born, God made you fearfully and wonderfully made. That it is, you are a female or male down to the cell. You cannot change this. And when you take these chemicals and do these procedures, this is absolutely dangerous. This is not good. This is a total lie. So that's some of the things that Jesus came to destroy. Jesus calls him a murderer. And you see the violence that we perpetrate against each other. He came to absolutely destroy this thing. He came to destroy the persecution and accusation of the saints. You know, the devil, and especially you hear this and see this in Job, where the devil, he's always accusing the saints. He got up there and he said, well, Job would do this. He would certainly curse you if you did such and such. He's always up there accusing the saints. And you know what? Jesus said, no more. You're done. You're out of here. He came to destroy the false teachers that are there. There are false prophets and false teachers throughout New Testament history until this now. He came to destroy the addictions of gambling, of alcoholism, of drugs like cocaine. He came to destroy sickness. He came to destroy cancer. He came to destroy heart disease. He came to destroy strokes, Alzheimer's. He came to destroy diabetes. He came to destroy measles and mumps, brain aneurysms, COPD, which took my father-in-law. He came to destroy lung cancer and kidney failure and a broken hip, which took my dad. He came to destroy cirrhosis, which took my mother-in-law. He came to destroy all that stuff. And these are all the works of the devil. And he came to absolutely obliterate it. And he is going to obliterate it. But most importantly, you know what? We all have a sin problem, but you know what? We have a death problem too. He came to destroy death itself. In Revelation 20:14, it says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death." He came to destroy the pain that a parent feels when a child dies. He came to destroy the pain a child feels when a parent dies. He came to destroy the pain when a spouse dies. He came to destroy the pain when a family feels when you have a death of a soldier or a first responder, a police officer. He came to destroy death when a friend dies. He came to completely obliterate that. And you know, hallelujah, he is alive. We sang a song, praise the King, he is risen. Hallelujah, he is alive. He came to destroy all that stuff. All those things, that sin that just coats us, that we have no solution for, he came and he came to completely obliterate it, to remove it, and it is gone. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 John verse 3, verses 11 through 13. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And so in 1 John 3, verses 11 through 12, we're given the example of Cain. Now Cain, he offered sacrifice. But he was outwardly a worshiper of God. He presented his grain offering, even though he knew he was supposed to present an animal offering. He said, "Oh, this will be good enough. I can go to God this way." He was sinning. He had an idol. Outwardly he was worshiping, but you know what? Inwardly his heart wasn't there. And John is bringing this example, is saying, "Hey, his works were evil, but his brothers were righteous." Cain murdered his brother Abel, revealing that he was a child of the devil. Ultimately, one of the chief characteristics of a child of the devil is their lack of love. You know, 1 John is one of the epistles of love. One way you can determine if you are a child of God is how much love there is. How much love do you have for your fellow person? How much love do you have for God? Lack of love is a sure test whether someone has experienced a new birth or still in the spiritual darkness. How much love is there? You know, where's the love? And that's really that separates the children of God versus the children of the devil, is how much love is in your heart. 1 John 3, verses 4 through 6, it says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away the sins, our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him." Guys, this sin, we have a sin problem, but there is a solution, and that's Jesus. He came to take that away. But if you're actively sinning and you are not repenting, you know what? God cannot exist with that. When Old Testament saints went up to God, they would immediately fall down. And in fact, New Testament saints, John, when he saw the resurrected Jesus, he fell down and like a dead man. His just awesome holiness and power means that he cannot coexist with sin there. Something's got to give. And you know what? He sent his son. He said, "Okay, as far as the east is from the west, your sin is gone. It's history. It's gone. It's completely obliterated. It's destroyed. I don't even remember it because of what Jesus did on the cross. Not from your own works, but you know what? You still have something to do. You still have to call upon his name. You still can't just actively be out there and sinning and saying, 'I'm good. You know, I don't need you, God. I'm all good,' and you're not good." But he says, "Hey, if you abide in me, this sin is gone." So what is the message for us today? That is to love one another. In John 15, verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Verse 17, it says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." So we are called to love one another. When we abide with Jesus, we naturally take on his likeness and love. When we are not with Jesus, we, by default, are with the devil. So it's either or. You know, nowadays, what's the big thing that the culture is pushing? It's called inclusiveness. Got to be inclusive. Well, Jesus says, "Hey, either you're with me or you're with the devil," which probably is not the most inclusive thing to say. But it's really, that's the choice you have, is you can either be with God or you can be not with God. I feel like the place of hell is just the absence of God. And that's when we sin, that separates us, and we are not with him. So then it says also that as the Father loved Jesus, so Jesus has loved us. Abide with him. Show your love for Jesus by abiding in him and keeping his commandments. When we abide in Jesus' love, he transfers his joy into our account, then our joy will be complete. So he calls us to love one another. He calls us to love God. But there's something interesting that happens, that when you love God and you love others, he takes his joy and he transfers that into your account. It's a supernatural transfer. It's like a Zelle, but in the heavenly realms. And he gives you that joy that he has, and he gives it to you and makes your joy complete. So what was his commandment? This is a commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. The interesting quality about love, kind of like joy, is you never run out of it. It kind of grows exponentially. It's contagious. But what about the opposite of love? And that's hate. So hate, it does grow exponentially. But you know what the actual, because hate breeds hate. But what is the ultimate form of hate? Does anybody know this one? It's murder. And so that murder extinguishes life. And so it kind of extinguishes itself. Where love just keeps growing and growing, you can't contain it. The opposite of love is hate, and the pinnacle of hate is actually murder, which is a sin. And so he calls us to love, not just calls us to love. Jesus' sacrifice and death is proof for his love for us, and the standard for which we are called if we are truly of God. So. Let me go over I'll close with this, the definition of love. So what is love? Love, according to Webster, is an intense feeling of deep affection. Babies fill parents with feelings of love. And so we are called to have that deep affection for others as well as God. All right. Let's see what I have here. Okay, yeah. In verse 17, it says, "But whoever has his word... world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does he love?" It's gone. Okay. It's gone. I'll read it because I didn't write it here. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. So not only were we called to love others, but we're also called to love others in deed and truth, meaning that if somebody is in need, because I wish you guys get that going, because I had a really cool picture. It showed two little kids, and they were sharing. One was sharing an apple with each other. But if we have something, we are called to help. It's kind of like Operation Christmas Child. That's the least we can do there, is to provide for others that are in need. So if you love others, he's called us to that. And think about the amazing thing that Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the least we can do. It's back. Yeah. So here we go. I like these pictures. You got the two little kids and the apple here, and then these two little boys are sharing. And so we are called to love one another, but also to help one another physically. Okay. That's the last slide. Good. Lastly, Psalm 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." So when we are helping others, when we are loving others, God hears our prayers. And it's not like a ceiling and it's bouncing back to us. All right. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. I see we have potluck today, so that's cool. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have made us a child of God, children of God, Lord. That you have called us to be your hands and feet here on the earth, to love one another as you have loved us. Why, that's the least we can do. That you solved our sin problem, Lord, that you've cleansed us from this, and that the problem that we all face with death, that you have provided a path to heaven, Lord, to be with you, to praise you, and to have that supernatural transfer of joy into our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just stand in awe. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. That's the least we can do. Forgive us when we sin and fail you. And I just pray specifically for any healings that are out there. If there's somebody that needs a a particular prayer for a sickness or something that is not quite working, or there's a situation, Lord, that there's prayer needed over, Lord. If there is a prophetic word or a word of knowledge that needs to be given, Lord, I just pray that be given there as well, Lord. I pray for everyone here to have good weeks, to have weeks that honor you, Lord, and that help we can help one another. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, if anybody needs prayer, myself and any of the elders will be here to pray over that. You are dismissed.